Hi guys, how many of you are have heard about Voice of IP? A few guys. Anyone else? Any of the young kids? Voice of IP? Never heard of Voice of IP?
Yeah.
How about the guys in the back? No? And how many of you used your phone today? Ended up becoming a college dropout, and just because I was so excited about the internet. Anyone knows when the internet was started?
DARPANET,
yes. Right, and email was invented a few years later. Right, and in the late 80s or early 90s, the only thing you can do on the internet was effectively send TCP/IP messages between like 8 or 9 universities and experiment with different things, right? And I looked at it and I said, they got it all wrong, you know? Internet is gonna be bigger than everything, and everything is just gonna become part of the internet. Is that what happened or no? Did you guys have enough coffee? Should I bring the coffee in here? So everything is gonna become part of the blockchain. So you're part of a revolution. You just don't know it. You think, like you heard Jose, right? Jose here tell you that, the blockchain is just something we're gonna inject into things and make them better. Just like a virus, we inject it into things and make it worse. That's not what it's for. So every 30, 40, 50 years, there's a revolution. You're living through a revolution, you just don't know it. You know? So this is not about taking blockchain and making JP Morgan run better, or taking blockchain and making Voice of IP better. This is about a completely new revolution. It's reinventing everything with the blockchain in mind. The internet did not make everything better. The internet reinvented everything. And that's what's happening right now. So we're going from VoIP, Voice of IP, Voice over Internet Protocol, to MOIP. MOIP is money over IP, money over Internet Protocol. Anyone disagrees with that? Anyone here thinks it's different? Warren's gonna go, all the people who disagree left the room, you know? So people talk about blockchain and tokens and coins and crypto as if it's all the same thing. It's not the same thing. These are all different things. And what I'm saying here, that cryptocurrency is the future of finance. The blockchain is the engine. Cryptocurrencies is the mechanism, right? It's the delivery mechanism. So when you're looking at Bitcoin and Ether and Litecoin, these are all experiments in cryptocurrency. These are all experiments. Anyone in the room here can create another experiment. And I can tell you the internet itself was just a giant experiment. There are at least 500 different protocols that did not make it to the internet. Anyone here heard about the VT1 protocol? No? Seriously? That was the first attempt. Before Voice of IP, before I implemented Voice of IP, there was another protocol that somebody tried to do and experimented and it didn't do anything. It died. So, just like anyone here knows about the Cambrian explosion, many, many hundreds of millions of years ago, nature had an experiment. And it combined different cells into a multicell organism. Do you know about what is a multicell organism? All of us. And it created a community. Every one of us is a community of cells. Why is that relevant? Because cryptocurrencies are all about communities. The Ethereum community, the Bitcoin community. It's not a currency, it's a community. The people inside the community are using it as a currency, but it's about the community. The entire community decides what that currency is, and the community, the price of the Bitcoin is what the community decides through consensus every day. Everybody decides what the price of Bitcoin is. Why is the price of Bitcoin low right now? Because the community is doing what? Are people joining the community or are people leaving the community? No, if they were joining the community, the price would go up. If more people come in, then there's more demand. If there's more demand, there are more buyers and sellers. If there's more buyers and sellers, the price goes up. Right now, all the tourists who came, all the speculators who came to join the party because they wanted to make a quick buck are now leaving. That's why the price of Bitcoin is going down. So the price of the cryptocurrency represents the value of the community. You like the slide? I put all of that, what I just said, the price of the community represents the value of, the price of the coin represents the value of the community. So I put it in a formula for you. Anyone knows what E equals MC squared stands for? Huh? Newton? No, not Newton. Einstein? Yes, Einstein. So Einstein was all wrong. You know why he was wrong? What does E stand for? Energy. No, try it again. This is a university, guys. Come on, you're supposed to know all this stuff. If I did this speech in New York, I'm sure they would have no clue what I'm talking about. But here, E stands for Ethereum. E stands for Ethereum. So, really? Well, that's why I'm here. I'm here to teach you differently. So, the value of Ether, the value of Ether is what? MC squared. What does the M stand for? Oh, here we go. Somebody already seen this movie before. And it's for members, not for money or for mass or for maybe. Okay? And what is C squared? You have two C's here. Don't tell them if you know. Don't tell them. C squared. Sorry?
Coins.
Coins. All right. How about consensus? How about cryptocurrency? What? Conspiracy. I like that. That's good. Community credit. We got a little crap there. But so if you want to know what Ether stands for, you take the community. If the community is growing and the membership are growing, then the value of the Ether will go up. If the community is shrinking or not developing, then the value of it will go down. So when you're thinking about blockchain, cryptocurrencies, and everything else, I know there's a lot of noise out there, but I can tell you most of that noise has nothing to do with reality. This is not just some technology that's making things a little bit better. This is a revolution. It only happens very, very rarely. So you're at the right place at the right time. You're ahead of 99.9999999% of the population. The entire crypto community is ahead of the population. There's only 15 million users of the crypto community, in the crypto community, out of 7.5 billion people. So everyone in the crypto world is way ahead of everybody else. So I'm here, let me brag a little bit. So besides inventing Voice over IP and writing 35 patents, I also created two of New York's top exits. I did 7 startups, two of them are two of the best exits in New York in the last 20 years. So I raised $1 billion from venture capital and I returned $3 billion. Okay, so it's one of the best returns. That's about a 65% IRR, okay? Internal rate of return over the last 17 years. Very, very few people can stand here and tell you that they did that. So what I'm telling you, what I'm sharing with you is from actual experience. It's not that I read a book or I saw a movie or I'm thinking about something in a room or whatever. So the bad news is that 90% of these cryptocurrencies are going to go out of business. So if you have an idea and you want to build a business around cryptocurrencies, there's a 90% chance you're going to fail. Do you know what percentage of the animals created in the Cambrian explosion disappeared? Yes. 90%. Do you know what the percentage of US businesses that fail? All businesses. Doesn't matter if you open a franchise, or you have a cleaning service, or you started a cryptocurrency. What percentage of US businesses fail over 10 years? 90%. You see a theme here? So this is just the force of nature. That's how nature operates. 90% of ideas are bad ideas. But the few good ideas create a Google and a Microsoft and an Apple and Alibaba and so on. So who in this room thinks they can have the next big idea? Okay, you see, there's confidence here. Who else? Anyone else? 2, 3, 4, 5, maybe? Come on. All of you can raise your hand. Why is that? Because right now everything needs to be reinvented. If you believe that this is a revolution and not an evolution, if you believe that this is a new way of doing things, then everything, the bank has to be reinvented. and the subway has to be reinvented. Everything, the chair has to be reinvented. Everything has to be reinvented in the context of cryptocurrencies, blockchain, and so on. Okay, so every one of you could become the world expert at something just because you're ahead of everybody else. By being here at this conference, you're already ahead of everybody else. What you do need to do is ask yourself a lot of very good questions of what is the next big thing. Here are some examples of companies that are the leaders in the space today. I'm lucky enough to be an investor and advisor to some of these, and these are great companies that came up with a great idea, and they're ahead of everybody else in that one idea. How to create, how to share files on the internet using a distributed blockchain technology, right? How to exchange currencies between currencies, how to create value between currencies, and so on, so on, so on. So we went through three waves of innovation. We first went through protocols, right? Infrastructure and protocols. And most of the people here, I don't think, are technical. How many people here have a computer science degree? All right, few. Most of you think, well, I'm not technical enough, right? I don't have the right skill set to create the next big thing on the blockchain. The next big thing on the blockchain, just like E equals MC squared, right? When Einstein came up with E equals MC squared, you know what question he asked himself? You guys know nothing, come on. The biggest thing in the last 100 years, Time Magazine, Einstein, that's the biggest idea in the last 100, even the last over 100 years. He said, what happens if I sit on a photon and travel with him at the speed of light? Now, anyone here asks himself these kind of questions on the weekend or in the middle of the week? That's what you have to challenge yourself with. How does banking look like with cryptocurrencies? How does a blockchain disrupt government? Right, all these things that you've heard the panel talk about, you have to ask yourself in the context of the entire world changing, right? The entire world is going to have to reinvent how it's serving humanity, right? How we all work together, right? How is value created? How is value distributed? Who accounts? Who is responsible? Who does asset allocation? All these things that you think they're done today in a certain way, all of that will disappear and will reappear as something completely different. So, the infrastructure wave, in my view, is finished. All these ideas that you heard about FAT protocol, anyone here knows what a FAT protocol is? No? FAT Joe? No? Nothing? Okay, do Google search, read about the FAT protocol. There's a great essay about that, explaining how all the value in crypto is gonna be created by writing protocols, and the people who write the protocols are gonna make all the money. No, that's not what's gonna happen. Okay? The value creation is not in the protocol. The value creation is in the community. Who holds all the value in Ethereum? The miners and the coin holders. The miners and the coin holders, which is the community. It's the community. It's not the guy who wrote the protocol. Vitalik is great. There's 7 co-founders. They're worth a lot of money, but they're not the guys who are holding all the value. It's not like the guy that sits at the top of JP Morgan or his shareholders will have all the value. It's a completely different system. So after the wave of the protocols, it was a wave of middleware, and now we are in the wave of dApps, distributed applications. So if you want to focus on something, guess what? For dApps, you do not need to know, you do not need to be the world's expert in computer science or write new protocol or develop a whole new technology or understand how light travels or how E equals MC squared. All you have to do is imagine how transformative this technology can be and how it can reinvent one thing. Whatever you are good at, whatever that thing is, it needs to be reinvented. And that's what you need to focus on. Anyone here knows what Pac-Man is? Anyone play Pac-Man? The young kids didn't do anything. They're like looking at me like, what are you talking about? Okay, go on the internet, play Pac-Man. Cryptocurrencies are like Pac-Man. They're just gonna eat up all the assets around the world. If you're holding dollars, if you're holding yen, or if you're holding the yuan, you will be selling it and moving it into crypto. You can do it now and get a good price, or you can wait 10 years and pay 1,000 times more. Why? Because all of the governments around the world are abusing their rights to print money. And because of that, because they're constantly reflating us out of trouble, right? They're diluting all of us. All of us are getting diluted. The value of the dollar lost 99.999% of its value against the Bitcoin. If you do a chart for 10 years, those two, one against the other, you will see that the dollar lost almost all of its value against the Bitcoin. Almost all of its value against the Ether. Right? Because people don't believe in that currency, they believe in the cryptocurrency. Right? And the more people are joining the cryptocurrency world, the less valuable the dollar or the yen or the other fiat currencies become. So if you believe in this, you can reinvent all of these things. You can reinvent them because all these things are going to be eaten up by the cryptocurrencies. And somebody has to invent how to do that. That hasn't happened yet. Do you know who these guys are?
Ninja Turtles.
Ninja Turtles, that's right. The guy in the middle? No, no. Try again.
Splinter,
no. Try again. Satoshi. Do you know what Satoshi is? Oh, Satoshi, yeah. So Satoshi showed us the way, right? Satoshi showed us what is crypto, what is a blockchain, what it could become. And all the children, there's over 3,000 kids now, 3,000 cryptocurrencies, who are all disciples of Satoshi, right? This could be Jesus also, right? Jesus showing us what to do, right? And now we're all grown up. Now we're like, thank you, right? We'll take it from here. So that's how you have to think about it. Each cryptocurrency is an experiment, a new way of doing something. Some of them will focus on, what did the Ethereum invent? What is Ethereum really famous about?
Smart contracts.
Smart contract, wrong. What else? They invented the ICO. Most people don't use Ethereum for a smart contract. How many people in the room here use a smart contract? Very, very few. How many people here know or participated in an ICO, right? So Ethereum created, not intentionally. Vitalik didn't sit there and say, oh my God, I'm gonna create the ICO. No, he invented the smart contract, but he funded it with an ICO, and then everybody looked and said, forget about this smart contract thing, we could do an ICO and raise money for our company. So Ethereum today is a platform that raises money for projects. And the community is a community of speculators who are betting on those projects. That's not crypto and that's not blockchain, okay? Now, I'm a big Ethereum holder, so I'm a big believer in that platform, but that's not blockchain and it's not crypto. So there's gonna be a million other experiments. There's only 3,000 right now. Anyone here wants to be part of the next experiment? Anyone? Coffee? I came from New York for this. Where did you guys come from? Like a mile away? I don't see the passion, guys. Where is the passion? Okay? You are in the middle of this. You are... Any idea here is a good idea. If anyone tells you they know what's a good idea and what's a bad idea, you can laugh at them. Okay? Because no one knows. Like I said, Vitalik had no clue what he created. I urge all of you to experiment. I'm hoping there's a slap right here for one more currency. Right here. Your name could be on it. I'm running out of time, so I'm going to skip a bunch of slides. So I'm a venture capitalist also. Right? I run my own family office. I've invested in over 200 companies. Outside companies, people like you who came to me with an idea and said, I'm gonna change the world. 99 out of 100 times I say, no, you're not. But some people do have amazing ideas, and even those people, 90% of them fail. 90% of the people who do manage to step into the abyss and actually start something, right? 90% of us don't even have that courage. But the ones who do, 90% of those fail and fall into the abyss and lose all their money and spend 5, 6, 10 years on building something and it fails. But that's, all of them are happier and more passionate than anyone in the room here. Life is not about a safe job, a safe government job, or joining JP Morgan or whatever. I did 7 startups. I came here as an immigrant. I had $100 in my pocket. All I had, I knew I had a ticket to go back home. If anything failed, I could get on a plane and just leave and go back and live my mediocre life in Israel. And most of you have this dream inside of you. You're just not, right? You're not, you don't have that, you're not willing to step over the abyss, like right here. Close your eyes and move over. You're in the right place, in the right time. You just need to believe in yourself and you gotta move forward. So these are the five rules that I use to decide if someone is a good investment, if something is a good project or not. I'm not gonna go through all of this presentation. It is available, you can take a picture. And I have on the internet, there is at least 50 other presentations in which I am going through these points, and you can pick them and go through them and ask yourself the questions. Could I qualify? Could I pass this test? If you can pass this test, you can raise money from anybody. I'm not talking about myself. This is a test you have to use for yourself. This is the opportunity. The opportunity is something that combines decentralization, the need for a token, and a secure and immutable blockchain. One of these is not enough. If you have an idea that just has one circle, right? If you have an idea that just lands here, or here, or here, that's not enough. You need a bullseye idea. And again, if you ask yourself questions, the beauty of the world today is that you can, with one Google search, find immediately not just if it's a good idea or bad idea, or if anyone tried it already before and failed, or can I find someone who will join me on this idea, right? You can immediately, very quickly validate that. When I came to this country, I couldn't do any of those things. I had no clue if it was a good idea, a bad idea, just try. I step into the abyss, okay? So that is the opportunity. This is the bullseye. Most people don't know where the bullseye is. I'm showing you where the bullseye is. If you land on anything here, there's a 99% chance you will succeed. Who heard about P2P? What does that stand for? Peer-to-peer. How many successful peer-to-peer companies do you know? Lending Club. Lending Club. Just because it's a public company doesn't mean it's successful. Okay? So could you go there and get a loan? 0% chance somebody will give you a loan on Lending Club. Today, Lending Club is mostly real estate builders and hedge funds who want to lend their money at 18 to 25% secured by assets or whatever. It's not the promise. The idea was amazing. The delivery was something else. So most peer-to-peer projects failed.
What about Kickstarter?
Kickstarter, longer really peer-to-peer, right? So Kickstarter is a great platform to raise money for an original idea, right? Just like the ICO is, right? So Kickstarter is like up to $1 million and an ICO is up to $1 billion or whatever it is today, you know? We Celsius did its ICO, we finished last week, we raised $50 million, right? What did we try to do? We tried to create a platform that gives the power to the people. I'll try to explain it, I only have a few minutes left, but I'll try to explain it to you so you understand how I'm thinking, because this is all about changing how you're thinking. Peer-to-peer is me and you doing a transaction. I'm a lender, you're a borrower, I'm an investor, you're a project manager, or whatever, right? Crypto is about staking. What does it mean, staking? The community gets together, this entire room gets together and decides, what's your name?
Kareem.
Kareem. Decides that Kareem has a brilliant idea and he needs to be funded. And the community as a whole stakes its coins, Ether or Bitcoin or whatever else, to enable Kareem to deliver on his idea, or for example, just get a loan so he could buy another car, so he could deliver the flowers or whatever he's doing, right? The community together stakes its capital. So in that idea, when the community comes together, is our job to earn as much money as possible, or is our job to help Kareem as much as possible? Exactly. That's the difference between power to the people and a peer-to-peer platform. In a Lending Club scenario, it's a person-to-person or a hedge fund to a real estate guy. Their job is to maximize the profit. Their job is to look at your credit score and say, oh, you have a low credit score? Hey, we're gonna charge you 25%. Because we know if you have a good credit score, if you have a high FICO, then you can go anywhere and get a 3% loan. The system today is designed to give you as little as possible. When you deposit money in a bank, how much interest do you get? 1% or less. The bank takes your money and give it to Kareem on his credit card. How much do they charge him? 20, 25, 18% is for the guys with a very high credit score. I have a perfect credit score and they still charge me 18%. It's a ripoff. Why are you only paid 1%? Do you think the bank can afford to pay you 2%? How about 5%? So why don't you go to the bank and say, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take this anymore and I want 5% interest. Did anyone here go to their bank and ask them for that? Bang on the table and say, I'm mad as hell. Give me 5% interest. Because none of us do that, the banks have all the power. Because all of us deposit our paycheck with the bank, the banks have all the power. And every year, they lower the interest rate, and they raise what they charge you on the other side. Why? Because there's less and less banks out there, and less banks who issue loans. The banks are bigger and bigger, right? The giant pyramids, where the people at the top make all the money. If we as a community stop giving the money to the banks, how much power would the banks have? All their money comes from where? From us. And we could all help Kareem. So that's how powerful the people were. It's actually very, very simple. And community banks used to work exactly the way I'm describing. But what did we do? We allowed that to fail, right? When it failed, the big banks dominated and allowed us to earn less and less and less. So crypto slash blockchain could be that. It could be a reinvention of banking, reinvention of finance, reinvention of the community. Now, who here is working on that? Are any of you working on what I'm talking about? Very few, right? So as long as you focus on making money, you're not focused on cryptocurrencies or on blockchain or on fixing things. This is not about making money. Believe me, if you solve a huge problem like the banking system, you will make money. You don't even have to think about it. You will make all the money in the world. There's nothing bigger than the financial system. So the question is, who has that solution? Who can come and solve that problem? I'm going to skip a bunch of slides because they already gave you the 1 minute left slide. You'll only have to remember three things. VoIP Des Moines. Just remember that story. Remember how, if you believe in something and it's true, how many people do you know, how many people do you think use Voice over IP every day? Over 1 billion people on the planet use it every day. How much, who here used to pay $3 a minute to call overseas? How much do you pay today? Zero. Who did that for you? Who invented that for you? You missed the first part of the presentation. I did. So the point is that when you create something great, I made a lot of money on that. I created a company called Arbonne, went public. I made a killing. But the service is free to everyone. There's a community of 1 billion people that is using it every day for free. So who got hurt? AT&T, Verizon, all those guys, they used to make 90% of their money from international voice calls. Now they make it on our cell phone, but the voice calls are free, right? E equals MC squared. If you want to create value in cryptocurrencies, the E, you don't have to worry about that. As long as you build a community, as long as you have an M, and as long as you give them something, in our case it's giving them credit, the E will take care of itself. You don't have to even think about it. Your currency will increase in value. And power to the people. Power to the people, it sounds so obvious. Right? Yet we don't do it every day. We all go and work for these pyramid companies, right? All these companies where we have the bottom of the pyramid and the guys at the top. I was at the top of several pyramids, okay? Believe me, that's the last place I want to be in. So the opportunity here is to reinvent all of that, to create a circle. That's why our logo is a circle. It's not a triangle or anything else. In a circle where everybody's equal. This is our team. We have more women than men. We're the only company in crypto that has more women than men. Do you know how many women are in crypto? 5%. That's how sad it is.
That's actually gold.
Sorry?
That's actually gold when we're not starting.
You were the only woman there, right?
Yes.
So if we don't include women and we don't listen to women, we're not going to create a product that the planet wants. 4 billion people on this planet, 4 billion women on this planet. You want to grow this community? Do something for women. So that's what we're thinking about every day. What can we do for women? And guess how we get those answers? We ask the women in our offices, in our places. Thank you. This is how you get in touch with us. This is a call to action, okay? This is a call to join the community. I don't care which community. You want to join the Celsius community? Great. You want to join the Bitcoin community? Great. But join a community and make something happen. Questions?
I missed a little bit of the beginning of the talk, but
I can start from the beginning.
Okay. So you recently did an ICO. Was that meant to fund the development of the platform?
We already have a working product. You can download it on Android. But the idea, we're building a community. Our goal is to bring 100 million people into crypto. So our community is for the people, by the people, and it's supposed to, it's creating a wallet that does everything in your best interest.
Right, my question is...
Do you have anybody that does everything in your best interest today? When you wake up in the morning, who works for you?
My wife does everything in my best.
She's your wallet.
Right.
So we're trying to create another wallet that works for your wife.
My question centers around SEC regulation. Like, how do you avoid being considered a security by the SEC?
You hire really good lawyers and they'll answer that question for you. Okay, that's, I'm not here for that. Next question.
It's not a question. I like that you're supporting women. Can I have your business card, please?
Here it is. It's right there. You see? Just take a picture. But you can have my card, yes.
So you kind of mentioned the importance of the underlying cryptocurrency digital assets in a lot of these systems in blockchain. And there were a couple of slides that kind of mentioned tokenomics and whatnot. I was wondering if you could just expand, you know, quickly in the time we have, you know, kind of what your thoughts are on the differences between private blockchains and public blockchains, and what advantages those underlying digital assets provide that the private blockchains completely miss out on in terms of, you know, restructuring incentives and creating microeconomies.
Was that like a planted question? Is that, no, I'm kidding. I'm obviously a big supporter of public blockchains. Just like you take anything, you can take a metal and make a bullet out of it and kill someone, or you can take a metal and create something very amazing with it, right? So a blockchain is just a tool. Are you going to use it for good, power to the people? Or you can take a syringe full of blockchain and inject it into JP Morgan, and it's going to do good for them also. They're going to make more profits, right? So everything could be used both ways. And there is no answer that says, no, you should only use it for public good, right? It's in the public domain. It's open source. Actually, JP Morgan forked Ethereum, right? They took a copy of Ethereum, put it in their system, and they're now using it to make more profit for JP Morgan. That's already in operation. If they tell you, just because they call it something else, doesn't mean it's not Ethereum. But our job, what I'm focused on, is reinventing what this is, right? Reinventing what I think humanity needs. That creating that Netscape moment that allows us to really build many, many things on top of the crypto universe. So that's what we're focused on.
Yeah, I have a question. Why are you in favor of Ethereum instead of NEO or this or other smart contract technologies?
We're not in favor of any of them. Our wallet will support the top 20 blockchains. So we're not choosing winners or losers. Our token is Ethereum based, but we support Bitcoin and Litecoin and all of them. And NEO, I love NEO. You know? We're good? All right, I'll be outside. I'm happy to answer all the questions, but we ran out of time.